Hello there, and thanks for joining me on the podcast today. A difficult topic to handle, a difficult topic to deal with, a difficult topic to think about. Think of a difficult topic to consider that's part of our community. Children who have been adopted and then released for readoption. Now, in the adoption industry today, approximately 135,000 adoptions are finalized every year in America. 135,000 kids are adopted every year in America. But you know what happens? About 1 to 5%. It's a small number. But 1 to 5% of them end up being legally dissolved and placed up for adoption again. We call that readoption. What do families do with a child they cannot handle? They cannot raise. They don't have the skills, they don't have the knowledge, they don't have the tolerance, they don't have the patience, they don't have the understanding of children, difficult children. All adopted children are difficult children to raise. It takes a mighty, mighty patient parent, an intelligent parent, a knowledgeable parent, and a super parent to raise these kids. But then you add another layer. These kids that then are released back into the marketplace for readoption. A very difficult group of children to think about raising that have been in perhaps foster homes, perhaps a variety of settings that they've been in for temporary periods of time, and then are adopted. And then after a period of a year or two or three or four, the parent decides that they just cannot manage that child and cannot handle that child in their family and their home and release them to the marketplace. So this is a difficult population of kids, no doubt. Now, over the years of practice, you know, I've been in practice now almost 58 years. And over the years of my practice, I've dealt with lots of families. Some of them consult me prior to making the decision to adopt children. A very wise move, by the way. Not necessarily that they come to see me, but that they consult somebody. They consult a variety of people before they even enter into the adoption process. Very wise. So I've seen lots of parents who come and say, should we do this? Are we the parents that could handle this? Are we capable of it? And what are the soft spots? What are our strengths? And then they make a decision to proceed or not to proceed. I've also seen a number of parents who have adopted their children and have had struggles with the management of the child or the children in their home after the adoption process has been brought about, and they come and see me. A very wise decision. Not that they come and see me, but that they come and consult with a therapist. Some of these families I meet with just for a few occasions. Get them started, get them organized, get them thinking in the right direction. Others I see for years, see the parents, see the child, see the other siblings in the home, work with them as a family, all trying to bring about a cohesive acceptance of each other and an appreciation for the contributions that each has to make to a family. It's been difficult to meet with families that have adopted a child and then have difficulty. Some of them come right away, immediately, before problems develop and we start the process of family therapy. Others wait until problems emerge, and then wait even further until problems emerge. And then they are the ones that have much more difficulty bringing it back under control. You know, an interesting piece of research that is important for all of us with children and who care for children, that the average child that complains of a stomach ache, headache, some kind of a physical malady, if you will, mild though it might be, is taken to a medical doctor within 2 days. A child that complains of depression, complains of chronic anxiety, is living a life of stress, living a life of behavioral problems, defiance, negativism of various kinds. It takes parents of those children 2 years before they bring that child to a therapist. And then that's 2 years of bad behavior being established. And then we're trying to undo that bad behavior in therapy that's been well set in the stone for over 2 years or more. That doesn't make sense. That's nonsense. Parents, if you're in a situation like that, and if you have a kid that's giving you trouble, adopted kid or not, doesn't matter. You get that kid and you get yourself and you get the family member into the office of a therapist and work together in resolving these problems and getting on the right track of success in the life of a child. Anyway, that's my advice on that point. But let's go back to our children who are now up for their second adoption. Who are they? Well, they're generally children of color, generally speaking. And out of the 135,000 adoptions that occur every year in America, about 1 or 5%, up to 5% of them, end up being legally dissolved and the children up for readoption. So it's a small number, but at the same time, it's a very important number, you know, to consider. Adoption dissolution. To dissolve an adoption and put the child back in the marketplace to be readopted creates significant trauma to that child, creates significant attachment difficulties. Those children perhaps, can't say never, but perhaps will not bond with a new family or any family. They will be seen as isolated kids the rest of their life. They'll be seen as kids who have very little value and worth the rest of their life. They'll be children that will be unable to bond, unable to attach to adults and to other kids for that matter. Marriage is essentially out in the life of these children. Form long-term relationships is essentially doesn't happen with these children. Children who are adopted and then certainly readopted have the major insecurity in the area of attachment, forming attachments. They just don't do it. They have difficulty with depression, chronic depression, and periodic, very deep and profound depression. They have difficulty with mood stability, maintaining some kind of a mood level. But they also have problems in the behavioral range. They lie. Common. They lie. They're good at it. They're very profound in their lying as a way to make themselves look good, make themselves look comfortable, make themselves look acceptable. So they lie, hoping that the lie will not get them in trouble, will get them out of trouble, and that they'll be an acceptable child. They want to be accepted. So you have to cover up any wrong. You have to deny any wrong and make yourself look good. So they lie. Very profound behavior problems with adopted children and certainly with the readopted, you know, child or children. So it's a major problem in America, major problem across the world. Now, thankfully, there's an agency in Utah that has taken it on to be a primary agency to help families who are in a situation where they need to let go of a child and place that child up for readoption. WASACH, WASACH, International Adoption Agency. You can remember it this way. It's WIAA. Go to your website, WIAA, and it's an International Adoption Agency out of Utah. If you have any interest in adopting a child that's up for readoption, or you are in an adoption situation that is impossible for you to handle, maybe they can be of help to you. Maybe they can be of help to you. So thankfully, we have a resource. Let me just say it again, WIAA. WIAA. It's an International Adoption Agency out of Utah. The name of it is WASACH, WASACH. So anyway, there's the R on that. Now, in the problem with kids in the adoption industry, or the adoption world, the major problem that these kids have, and I've just described a little bit in the area of behavioral problems and so on, personality problems, they often are diagnosed with what is called a reactive attachment disorder. A reactive attachment disorder. It's called RAD, RAD. It's a formal diagnosis that we recognize in the field of psychology and social work and psychiatry. Here's what it says. It is a disorder. It's a condition that occurs in children who have been neglected and are therefore unable to form an attachment to their caregivers. Now, this is when it occurs. This is the things you look for. The child has experienced a pattern of extremes of insufficient care, as evidenced by at least one of the following. Okay, insufficient care. In other words, from their natural parents or from their grandparents or from a natural parent that tried to hang on to them for a period of time, but it was insufficient and it wasn't proper and it wasn't healthy. They've had social neglect. They've had deprivation, deprivation of food, deprivation of love, deprivation of touch, deprivation of handled, being touched, being cared for, deprivation of hugs, deprivation of language, deprivation of words being expressed to them. They have at least a year and more of that kind of deprivation, social, academic, personal neglect. And they have had a repeated change in their primary caregivers. They've gone from parent to foster parent to foster parent to foster parent to foster parent. They've gone from parent to foster parent to a an adoption parent, and then maybe to a readoption parent, and so on. They've had these repeated and constant changes in their primary caregivers. That's these kids who cannot attach and cannot relate to anyone else. And they are reared in very unusual settings, often in poverty, often without food, often without proper clothing, often without proper protection, without proper relationships. They're thin, they're heartaches, if you will. These are the kids that we now refer to as RAD, Reactive Attachment Disorder Children. It's almost always found in the adoption population and is certainly found always in the adoption children who are up for readoption. This is a painful, painful group of children. They live with pain deep down inside that they're unable to express in words, or unable to put into words, or unable to share their feelings or their deep hurt and ache with anybody else. And all they can do is react and act out, and they often come with major behavioral problems: fighting, biting, kicking, spitting, poking, competing, all the different behavior patterns that have to do with inappropriate relationships that only separates them further from their adopted parents, only separates them further from the siblings in their home who are also either adopted or who are natural children to those particular parents. How do you help a kid rehome, to kind of come back to home, come back to a home where he's loved and she's cared for, and he or she are just brought into the home and made partners of the family? How can that happen? It takes a very special couple. It takes a very special family to reach out and to bring these kids into their home and give them a home and give them a second chance in the adoption industry. They're called second chance adoptions. So if you're interested in this population, you're interested in this topic, I recommend you to contact any therapist that deals with adoption children. They'll help you. But you can go to this agency, WIAA, Washak International Adoption Agency, out of Utah. Access them and contact them, and maybe they can be of help to you. Well, there we are. This has been a tough topic, and I certainly think that you need to know that there's hope out there. But you have to reach out and gain it. You have to reach out and bring it into your life. If you're a parent, if you're a family that's struggling, the hope is get some help. That's where hope is. Get some help. If you do it alone, the hope is minimal. But get some help. Get some therapist that will work with you long term. Work with a therapist for a year, two, three, 4 years. And maybe you need to change a therapist after a while. We can get some fresh ideas and some fresh blood and some fresh motivation, if you will, and encouragement. Not uncommon to have two or three different therapists over time work with you. But work with a therapist long term, not just short term. You can make it, we can do it, but this is a population of kids that need somebody to step into their life that will not only take a chance, will take a risk, but will take an opportunity that these kids represent. Bye for now.